Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, Believe God's Word When You Pray. You are studying Lesson 5, Receive God's Heavenly Grant. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today, and my, we give you the praise and the thanksgiving for it. You're so good to us, and you've helped us so, and we praise you for it. And this broadcast today will be no different, except just better. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yesterday I began sharing some steps with you. I talked to you about praying in the name of Jesus. I talked to you about believing that you receive when you pray. That is so vital. Now, those two things will hook together. John 16:23, Jesus said, I say unto you that whatsoever you shall ask the Father, in my name he will give it you. And then you come down there, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Now look how those two things hook together. I don't believe I receive based on feelings, what I see, what I hear. No. My prayers are based on something far more powerful than that. The promises of God. But how about basing I believe I receive on the name of Jesus? I caught on to that one day. This ministry was very young, and my dad had taken early retirement from his company a couple of years and was helping Glory and me. He would go get the mail and what little of it there was and bring it in there and sort it and so forth. And I mean, we were out on the road. We stayed on the road just night and day. And my dad, God bless him, I trust him. I didn't know anybody else and didn't have the money to pay anybody anyway. And so my dad came in there and was helping us do that. And he came in one day and he said, I don't know whether you realize what the expenses of this ministry have grown into or not. I said, I don't realize it. I don't have any idea what they are. I thought you was handling that. He said, well, I am. But he had it on a little piece of paper, and he handed me that piece of paper, and he said, I believe you better pray about this. Now, what my daddy was very kindly saying is, boy, we out of money. And so he handed me that little piece of paper, and I looked at that, and I thought, dear Lord, ain't that much money in the whole world. I mean, I'd never seen that much money at one time in one place in my life, and that's the expenses of this ministry. And the thing wasn't but just a few months old, and I thought, how the good is that? Oh, what's this, you know? I thought, Lord. So I just got up from my desk and turned the chair around and got out on my knees. And I keep all these things written down. I'd like to look at them. In fact, this same piece of paper I had and that I'm sharing with you from. And I just opened it up and I began to look at those things and take authority over my thinking instead of letting that other little piece of paper he handed me take authority over my mind, you know, like some kind of an iron hand in my face. Just more money than I could even think about praying over. But faith doesn't know the difference. So, I'm going through this, and I my amplified translation of the Bible is laying over there on my desk, and I got that and opened it up here. And it said in John 16:23, which I read in order to control my thinking and base my prayer properly on God's Word, it said, Jesus said in that day, whatever you ask, amplification, parentheses,
believe that it is granted to you. You shall receive, or it will be granted to you. Excuse me, I got them out of line here. Let me start over. Whatever you ask in my, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will grant it to you. And in Mark 11, 24, it said, therefore, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that it is granted to you now, and you shall have it. Woo, I saw it. They were hooked together. And I said, I pray in the name of Jesus, and you said you would grant it to me. And I believe that I receive my heavenly grant right now. And I called out that number financially. I showed that guy. I said, I believe that that's granted to this ministry right now. Now, the next morning in the mailbox, there wasn't that many $1,000 in the mailbox, but I'll tell you what, it immediately began to increase, and in a few days' time, our income had come up to that level. Now, that wasn't the only thing involved in it. I had to call things that be not as though they were. I told the devil to take his hands off my money in the name of Jesus. I asked the ministering spirits, the ministering angels that are assigned to my life and assigned to this ministry to assist me according to the will of the living God and cause the money to come into my hands. And I began to thank God for it and give for it. I gave and I gave everything, gave and gave. In every direction, at every time the Lord impressed me to give, and there it came. So I'm acting on the laws that govern it. Now then, the very next step comes in Mark 11, 25. Jesus said, believe that you receive when? When you pray, believe that you receive. And yesterday I made mention of the fact that you need that moment in time. You need it to refer to in the future when the devil comes at you and says, you ain't going to get it. You can tell him, you say, no wonder you're such a failure, Satan. You're so stupid. Because, you know, I believe that I received yesterday and Jesus said it. And so it's mine. It's granted to me. There's no such thing as me not getting it. I mean, Jesus got it for me. It belongs to me. And I believed I received yesterday afternoon at 4 o'clock when I prayed. You can run on off and bug somebody else because they ain't going to do you no good here, Hoss. And every time you come in here, I'm going to take the Word of God. I'm going to cut you up every way but Sunday with a sword. And lam it to him and watch him run. Praise the Lord. Now, the next verse, Jesus in the first place didn't say this in chapter and verse. Those numbers were added later. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them, and. Now, what is and? And is a join-up word, isn't it? It's a conjunction. It joins that phrase with this phrase. And when you stand praying, forgive. Now, look, he said believe and forgive in the same prayer. Oh, but Brother Copeland, now I've been trying to forgive those folks for 9 years. No, you can't stand in that prayer spot for 9 years. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. Yeah, I know, but every time I see them, I get to the little ugly feeling. That is a symptom. Rebuke and renounce that symptom the same way you would the symptom of a sickness or a disease. Forgiveness is an act of your will. I will to forgive them. I will to do it because God said it, and I do it out of obedience. I don't do it because I feel like it. I don't do it because of anything except God said to, and I'm not going to hinder my prayer life over some foolishness and some fuss or something somebody else did. What I want to let them ruin my prayer life for? Huh? Now, you see, you really get thinking about that. Yeah, but now listen, you know how ugly they talked to you and they told ugly stories about. Well, why should I let that foul up my prayer life? I'm not going to do it. And I forgive, Father. I forgive so-and-so. I refuse to hold on to the wrong that's between the two of us. I refuse to do it. I'll not hold on to it. And while I'm praying, I believe that I receive. And if I have aught against any, I turn loose of it right now. I'm not going to let this hinder my prayer life in the name of Jesus.
Oh boy, if you're going to develop a prayer life, that's going to have to become a standard of your time of prayer.
Now let's take another look at it over in 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the manner of lives and the holiness of their wives. Now then, go to verse 7. Likewise, you husbands. Now notice it said likewise. Likewise. Husbands like wives like husbands. Husbands don't like to hear that it says, likewise, be in subjection to your wife.
Oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be the boss of this household.
Well, no wonder you're not. Anybody with that kind of attitude ain't got no business bossing anything. Probably not. Some guy says he's boss of his house, a lie about other stuff too. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Now listen to how it says, for you husbands to be in subjection to your wives, dwell with them according to knowledge, according to God's Word. What is that? What is according to knowledge? According to the love of God. According to the Word of God. According to what you know about God. God's not on a demanding ogre of a ruler. He's got that claimed on Him, but He's not. God is love. Jesus never just come down on anybody and made them follow Him. No, no. Now listen, dwell with them, dwell with your wife according to the Word, according to knowledge. Listen, giving honor unto the wife. Listen to this phrase. Now this is going to give you a clue about your prayer life inside your family and your household. Listen to this. Particularly when you're dealing with financial things and when you're dealing with your children. Now listen to this very, very carefully. Forget about what everybody else is saying about what a household ought to be like. The feminists don't know. The chauvinists don't know. Forget about what the world has to say about sex, marriage, money, and life and death, because they don't know, brother. I mean, they got some kind of wild pipe dream about what sex is supposed to be like, and whole households are being ruined because of Hollywood's portrayal of sex. Dear Lord, man, don't base your life on such junk as that. Now listen to how the Bible has to say about it. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to the Word, giving honor unto the wife. Honor her. The honor is a special thing. It's not being taught in the schools anymore. You can't teach it without God. Honor is something that comes with covenant. If I enter into a blood covenant, my Indian background tells me that if one tribe entered into another tribe of a blood covenant, they honored that tribe. I honor my word. I honor you, and I honor your needs, and I set you in a place higher than me. That's honor. Honor and truth and life and honesty. These basic, virtuous, powerful moralities. Oh, it's such a lovely thing, such a powerful thing. Now listen to how you are to honor your wife. Don't misunderstand these words. Women, listen, it's the best deal you ever had in your life. Dwell with them according to God's Word, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace or the authority of God's life in your life. Now, women, wait a minute. Don't throw something at the TV. It did not say you were the weaker vessel. It's talking about honor. Huh? I do things for my wife in respect and honor for her. Not because I'm dominating her are not because I have some idea that she's weak. Dear God, in a whole lot of ways, she's stronger than I am. I need her strength. I don't open the car door for her because she's so weak she can't. What kind of a dumbbell idea is that? You know why I open the car door? I got several reasons for it. One, when I open that car door, I'm saying to her, let me do it. Let me do it for you. I honor you, the mother of my children, the keeper, the prayer warrior, the one that helped pray me into the kingdom of God. She's all woman. She's feminine. She's beautiful. She smells good. And I'll tell you another reason I like to open the door. I like to get up close. Amen. I mean, you know, woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't open the door because she ain't got the strength to open it. I don't treat her as a weaker vessel because I think she's weak. I don't treat her like she's dumb. She's smarter than I am. She proves it every day. And I don't mind telling her, you're smarter than I am, girl. So here, you do all the thinking. Glory to God. But at the same time, I treat her in honor like she was something so priceless. Oh, and she is. She's priceless to this household, priceless to this ministry. She's God's daughter, and I treat her that way. You see what it's saying? Now, I read all that to you, say this. Catch on to this. Giving honor unto your wife as unto a weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. God has given the two of you, man and wife, all these wonderful things. We're heirs together with God. And I don't want to do anything that will cause her not to receive her inheritance in God, much less mine. But can you see the honor part of it? I don't want to do something that'll cause my wife not to receive from God. I don't want to go in there some morning and my wife is sick and she's reaching out for me to help her pray, and I go to pray and we not get anything from God. Why? It's ours. Why are we not receiving? Watch. Being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Your prayers, not your prayer or your prayer, but your prayers be not hindered. You can get strife. You remember now what Mark 11:25, let me read it again. Jesus added it right in there in that prayer teaching on faith. He said, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you don't forgive, neither will your heavenly Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Not because He's mad at you. It's because He doesn't have any connection with you. The forgiveness is there. It's already been done. You're not receiving it. You're in no condition to receive it. Why? Because there's unforgiveness operating in your life, and unforgiveness drives out forgiveness. Are you listening? So that if I'm in strife and I'm upset and mad at her and I come down on her or anybody else as far as that's concerned, I'm holding on to this strife. The Bible said, James said, by the Holy Ghost, where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work. And the Apostle Paul wrote Timothy and said, the man of God must not get in strife because he must be there to minister to those that oppose themselves, seeing they are taken captive by Satan at his will. Woo! Glory to God. What information for your prayer life. I tell you, you ought to come against strife. You ought to come against it in your own mind and in your own life, in your own family. I don't want to be the reason that my family's prayers are not answered. I don't want to be the reason that the church I'm involved in, prayers are not being answered. Brother Copeland, I never heard anything like that. Well, let me tell you another one, and you realize it now. Jesus said, if a man has aught against any, against a brother, he ought to go to him. He said, if his brother has aught against him, he ought to go to him. And he said, when you go to him, see, he said, if you have something against him, go to him. If he has something against you, you go to him. You get that out of there at all costs. If you have to make the first move, I don't care if you have to take the blame. Who cares? And he said, go over there. If you listen to you, you've saved your brother. You've saved the situation. But he said, if he won't listen to you, go get another brother or two and go over there and let them witness the fact that he either accepts or doesn't accept. And he still won't listen to you, then go to the leadership of the church. It didn't say blab it out toward the whole congregation. Go to the leadership of the church. Go to the pastor. Go to whatever's involved here and say, now listen, we've been to this brother several times and he won't listen. He won't get out of strife. So Jesus said, treat him like he's a heathen. Now, when he said all that, one of the next things he said was, if any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, what's he saying? He's saying, you got a brother over here that won't get out of strife. He won't forgive and he won't let this thing go. He said, treat him like he's a heathen. Didn't say he was a heathen. It didn't say be ugly to him. It didn't say put a collar around his head and write heathen on it and make him prayed up and down in front of the church or some other dumb, stupid, dry-filled thing. No, what Jesus is saying is treat him as far as prayer is concerned, because that's what he was talking about. Treat him like a heathen. Don't get him involved in your prayer life. Cut off his strife from affecting the rest of the church, affecting the prayer life of the pastor, affecting the prayer life of the family, and so forth. Cut it off so that it doesn't have prayer hindrance, so that you still can move and operate by faith, believe God, and believe Him out of that mess. Amen? Glory to God. So, forgive when you stand praying as an act of your will and as an act of your faith. Praise God. And if you still have bad feelings about it, no, I reject those feelings. I have forgiven. Those feelings are not mine. No, flesh, you just get in my line. Brother so-and-so is forgiven. And Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you for brother so-and-so. I thank God that he's delivered, but I'm not going to let that mess bother my prayer life. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for this television audience today. I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I believe that I receive this television audience filled with a revelation of prayer and deliverance and walking in a depth of prayer that will affect the nation, affect the world, and affect all the body of Christ and everything that the kingdom of God is led to do by the Spirit of the living God. We praise you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next series.